Welcome to the IBCLC Mentor Podcast. Whether you're an aspiring IBCLC, a new lactation consultant, or a seasoned professional, continued learning is essential for staying up to date and providing evidence-based care. I'll bring you expert interviews, research recaps, and case studies to help you refine your skills and elevate your practice. No matter where you are in your IBCLC journey, this podcast is for you. Welcome back to the IBCLC Mentor Podcast. I'm Margaret Salty, your host, and today I sit down with Dr. Rebecca Thompson, a family medicine and public health physician from Portland, Oregon, to talk about her new book, Held Together, a shared memoir of motherhood, medicine, and imperfect love. We dive into why she wrote the book, who she wrote the book for, and the key lessons she wants readers to take away. From her personal experiences with pregnancy loss and medical challenges, to how those experiences have shaped her work in maternal and child health and lactation support, this conversation offers powerful insights for IBCLCs and anyone supporting families through the highs and lows of parenthood. Let's dive in. As an IBCLC, your time is valuable. Every visit, every assessment, and every feeding plan requires quick, accurate calculations. And that's where the IBCLC Toolkit comes in. Designed by an IBCLC for IBCLCs, this powerful app helps you streamline care, save time, and eliminate guesswork so you can focus on what matters most, supporting families. With the IBCLC Toolkit, you can quickly calculate weight loss percentages to assess newborn growth. You can calculate milk intake with just a few taps, simplify triple feeding plans without the hassle of manual math, convert milliliters to ounces and more, so you never waste time on conversions. Everything you need right at your fingertips. Download the IBCLC Toolkit today on the App Store or Google Play, or learn more at IBCLCtoolkit.com. Because your time is valuable. Let the IBCLC Toolkit do the math for you. Welcome, Dr. Thompson. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Hi, thanks, Margaret.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this conversation. I cannot wait to tell everybody about your book. I had the opportunity to read the intro and a little bit of the first chapter, and it blew me away. So I think this is really, really going to be a great resource for everybody working in this space. So let's talk more about that in a minute. But as I start all of my conversations, I want you to tell everybody where you're located and what work you're doing.
Thank you. Well, so I've lived in Portland, Oregon for about 20 years now, but I grew up in New England and I've worked in and traveled to all sorts of places. Most recently, my family and I have been on thousands of miles of road trips and camping trips throughout the U.S. and Canada. And I've practiced in a really wide range of medical settings, too. Everything from my origins were in wilderness medicine as a wilderness EMT. And I've done research in cancer survivorship, especially pediatric cancer survivorship, and worked at oncology camps, which is another one of my passions. Provided telemedicine consults for more remote and rural communities. And then for years serving as a family medicine physician in full spectrum primary care clinics and women's health practices. And these days, I would say my primary clinical work focuses on supporting community programs, kind of local sporting events and those kinds of things, back to my wilderness EMT roots. Yeah, and public health too. But I feel like I spend the bulk of my professional time very intentionally in sharing the lessons I've learned while writing this book, while writing Held Together, because I feel like shepherding these incredible stories of complicated family life and getting them out into the world to help other women and families, that is what has become my practice of medicine, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love hearing that. So let's talk about the book. So it's called Held Together. Where did the idea for the book come from?
Yeah, so back when I was first starting out kind of as a young physician, I was finishing up my public health and preventive medicine residency and transitioning into a research faculty job, my husband and I decided we were ready to start a family and very quickly went through three really complicated and life-threatening pregnancy losses. I felt like, you know, I had all this training and expertise as a physician, but I felt really lost. I was supposed to be the expert, but I just kept feeling discouraged and sad and confused by all the ways my body was failing me, right? So that led me to want to go back and do more clinical training specifically in women's and children. I felt like after being misdiagnosed and misunderstood and dismissed repeatedly, I wanted to prevent those situations for other people. But even more so, I wanted to repay the debt, to repay the incredible care that I'd received from many deeply compassionate individuals. I wanted to give back for everything they had done for me. And I'll say as a side note, one of those people you'll meet early on in the book, she was my OB when, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but when I showed up in the emergency room one time, I was just kind of in that transition, kind of finishing up my training, young faculty. She was a senior resident in obstetrics. And we met at a time of real crisis for me. And she became so pivotal to my care. To the point where now, what is it, about 17, 18 years later, she has become one of my closest friends. And at the very end of the book, she's woven throughout the book in my story, but at the end, you hear her story of her family, her origin story, and her path to medicine. And yeah. So I really wanted to give back for the care that she had given me. And during all of these losses and all of these complications, it's very isolating, as I think everybody who has gone through pregnancy complications or really any family complications knows. You feel like maybe you're the only person who's been through anything this dramatic, this difficult, knowing that everyone has a story and everyone has something hard, right? But you feel like very alone. So I didn't really talk about what I'd been going through. It just kept happening so fast too that I never had enough time to process it and really think about what to say to anybody. And so it just kept getting deeper and deeper. And when I finally started to emerge from that a little bit and start sharing my story, I just found that everyone around me had a story too. And anytime I gave the smallest glimpse into my story, people just came pouring out with their stories and wanted to share these, and including building their families, but really about sustaining their families and growing up in a family and just all the ways that our lives are complicated.
Yeah.
It was so empowering to hear these stories. And
I love that. I feel like just speaking about like pregnancy loss, it's become the attitude is a little bit like, you know, it's normal. It happens. So it's almost, at least for me, I kind of felt like you're not really supposed to feel anything because you kind of expect that this is what happens. And I felt wrong to actually feel anything at all. So I love that in this book, it's not just your story and your OB story. There's stories of other mothers. So tell me about where you found these other stories and how you integrated those into this book.
Yes. And I want to acknowledge what you said, too, and emphasize that, because two things can be true, right? Miscarriage is incredibly common.
Mm-hmm.
It's documented probably 25% or so of clinically recognized pregnancies, but many pregnancies go unnoticed and are just thought to be a late or a heavy period. Some people say it's more than half of conceptions that don't go on to become, you know, a recognized pregnancy. The data are hard to establish, right? But that can be true. It can be a normal event in reproductive life scientifically, and it can also be really devastating. But I mean, we can't assume that everyone has the same reaction to a pregnancy. Not every pregnancy is desired or was intentional, and there can be relief. There can be devastation. There can be something in between.
Right.
There can be both.
Right.
Right. So acknowledging that.
Yeah, I think at least for me, the general consensus is that you're not really supposed to feel anything.
Yeah. Just move on because it's normal. It's typical. It's so common. Yeah.
Right.
But about finding the people, right. So really as I started to tell these stories, and I was working in medicine, and I had so many amazing patient stories that I'd heard over the years. I started thinking about what could I write? I've always loved to write. What could I write that would help people? Coming to the lactation angle, I thought about maybe I should write some kind of an infant feeding book, infant support, new family support, because I love helping families with lactation, but I love that because I love helping them meet their goals, not because I'm imposing lactation on them or saying it's the only way to do things. It's one tool we have, right? And meeting families where they are. So as I started thinking about what that book might look like, I realized I was collecting vignettes. Like, here's so-and-so's story of this challenge, and here's this other challenge that I've worked with this patient with. I realized that the vignettes were the most compelling thing to me. And so then I thought, maybe I'll just write stories about that. And as I considered stories about kind of new families, that looked like it was becoming a book about pregnancy and birth. That is a pivotal point in many families' lives. But to me, we were missing the stories of what happens afterward, right? There are a lot of great books about birth stories, and you can read those online. People volunteer those. There's a ton of that, and they're fascinating.
Right.
But I wanted to get at, how do the stories we've lived before we become parents influence what happens when we become parents and how we become parents? And then what happens afterward? Don't just say, and then we had the baby and everything was great. We had our family. No. There was so much missing. And specifically, there were many, many families I'd worked with that made me realize this, but there were a few in particular that I had been working with in my clinics. And the two of the ones that come to mind, there are many. I almost hate to name any because so many of them made me feel this way. But two of the ones that came to my mind were people that I'd taken care of when I was a resident and then also came to see me when I graduated and went into my own practice in the community. And so I'd known them for a long time and seen that long arc of parenthood, right? I mean, looking back, it wasn't that long. It was maybe I'd taken care of them for 5 years. And now being more seasoned, that feels like a short time. But it was through a lot of experiences ranging from preconception, thinking about, you know, how what's the safest way to think about a pregnancy given underlying medical situations, to I'm a parent and I'm facing these devastating chronic illnesses for myself or my partner. Now what? What does that mean for our family? And so several of those patients are in the book, and thinking about how to present their stories as in this continuum, right? So coming at it with a lens of, I don't want to just tell early stories, but see real change. I mean, I think that's what the best narrative nonfiction books are about, is watching people change and grow.
I love that. I think that this is going to fill a void because we need to know, you know, I'm a Pathway 2 instructor, and we talk a lot about the prenatal period. We talk a lot about that early postpartum period, but we don't have enough emphasis in lactation education or any really education about the impact of birth on that transition of family. Yeah. And I actually have an interview coming up this week with somebody else to talk specifically about this, but I think this book is really going to fill a void to help shed some light on the transition that happens and what happens as a family grows.
Yeah.
So your book, as I said at the beginning, I had the pleasure of reading the introduction and a little bit of the first.
Yeah, you had the first chapter in that.
Yeah. Your writing is sophisticated and elegant, and it reads like a novel and left me.
Thank you. That was my intent. Absolutely.
Yes,
Truth feels like fiction.
It's amazing. I mean, it really did. I knew more tragedy is coming, but it left me on the edge of my seat, and I can't wait to read more of it. So who did you write this book for? What is the audience?
Yes. So I think, you know, the audience is really anybody who's interested in origin stories. Family origin stories. You don't have to be a parent to enjoy this book. I think that the people who are going to gravitate toward it the most strongly are going to be parents, especially mothers. But I don't think you need to be a parent. I think if you're a child of a parent or a family, you'll find something in it. I also wanted to say I One of the reasons, and one of the audiences I wrote this for, really is other medical professionals. It's not, I want all the medical aspects of it to be approachable, and that's really intentional. Anything in the book that's jargony, I explain. I give context for. I want it to help people who aren't in medicine understand these things better. But it's really important to me to help the next generation of medical professionals continue this compassion in medicine. And to that end, I wanted it to be medically based and medically relevant without being overly medicalized. So when I say that, it also comes back to your question a minute ago of how did you find these people? Who are these stories, right? So it's my own story, my own family's story, but it pauses at intervals to include the stories of 21 other women and families, all in first person voice. And about half of those people are also medical professionals themselves. And so when it pauses, it's where this woman's story intersected with mine in some way. These people are all either friends, up to, you know, some of these people I've known for 30 years, patients I've cared for, medical colleagues I've worked with over many years. And I want both other medical professionals and people who don't work in medicine to get this glimpse, this insider view of what it's like to be in these fields, either as a patient or as a clinician, and how it impacts your own life and how the people who care for us are also humans with complicated stories.
Yes, yes, right? Definitely.
And the other thing about, I think, the way that I wrote this book, so every one of these stories, each woman is, her story is contained within its own discrete chapter, right? My story is spread throughout and there's her within, but each woman has her own chapter, the other 21. Mm-hmm. Every one of these chapters is a real collaborative effort over years, each one literally years. And there's no one way that every story came together because my relationship with each of these women is different. But I'd say the most typical way that the stories came together is having known this person in other contexts and thinking I knew her story to some degree. Telling her about the project, she wants to be involved, and we either sit down at a coffee shop or, and this is, you know, starting 10 years ago, or even more commonly, if she was local, go out for a walk. And I had this little voice recorder that I would clip on her neck as we walked on a lanyard, and we would just talk and walk, or do that on the phone if she was not local. Some people live abroad, even from this book. One person lives in Poland. So some of those would be getting up at, you know, 4 a.m. to coordinate time zones and have conversations while kids were still asleep. But we would do hours of interviews for any given chapter, and then I would listen to those and transcribe a lot of them. And often the women would give me journal entries she had from years ago or excerpts from emails she'd sent to family and friends during a particular crisis or moment in their family's life that they were explaining what was going on for them. And I would take all that and weave it together to create sort of the most compelling version of her narrative that I could, using a ton of her words whenever possible, her expressions, her, you know, the things that she kind of, her sense of humor, her voice, but writing it to give the entire book this cohesive feel, even though you can have, you have distinct voices with each of the women, but you also have a feeling that they're this community, which they are. A lot of them know each other.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's amazing. So what do you hope that the readers take away from this book?
Yeah, I think that the biggest message, I hope that everyone who reads it, medical, non-medical people, I hope they feel the power of the universal and the specific. So when you read these stories, even about things you could never imagine happening in your own life, you come away understanding something new about yourself and about your own family. And so I really hope that these stories spark that kind of deep curiosity about extraordinary moments hidden in ordinary lives. And that helps us believe that no matter how difficult things are, like, we will get through this. We can make meaning out of our lives. I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I'm not here for any of that. I'm here for, wow, these things just happened. So what can I do to give them purpose?
Yeah. Definitely. There's some saying that says something like, you never know what a person's going through just by looking at them. Something along those lines.
So true.
Yeah. And I hope that this book will help professionals working in maternal and child health and family health to think like that. Come away and think like that. We don't really know every aspect of somebody's family life. We have a really small snippet of impact on their life or interaction with their life. And we can't see the whole picture, but, you know, maybe this will help give us a new lens and help us be a little bit more compassionate and, you know, just sort of shift the way that we care for these families.
That's exactly it. It's exactly what I'm going for.
Yeah, I love it. And I hope that for families experiencing some of the things that you talk about in this book, it gives them a little bit of a platform or a little more confidence in their ability to talk about their feelings and what they're going through. We don't need to suffer in silence. We need to find that community and find support in the community. Yeah, that's just like you talked about.
Thanks.
So I think this is going to be really powerful. I can't wait for everybody to read it and get involved in changing the way that they care for these families. So what comes next with this book? Are you going to tour it?
Yeah, we've got lots of events lined up and live and in-person and podcasts. Yep, I'm excited. I really do love the podcasts because I feel like then anybody can get involved and listen.
Yes,
and,
yes.
I do think this book will help people build communities where they are. And so I want to reach people all over. And podcasts are a great way to do that these days.
Yeah. And I think lactation professionals generally really pay a lot of attention to perinatal mental health. And I think that this book is a really nice adjunct to that. And I really think that my listeners are going to embrace it because it really will help support that perinatal mental health.
And so the link to this podcast and the other ones I'm doing and the in-person events and all will be up on my website as well. So I'll have an events page going there.
Amazing. Amazing. So where can everybody learn more about you and the book?
Thank you. So I believe you'll be linking to it from your show notes, but it's my name, essentially, www.rebeccanthompson.com. And from there, you'll be able to find the page about the book and all the events and such. And book is available everywhere books are sold. It'll be in hardcover, ebook, and audiobook formats. They just finished recording the audiobook, and the narrator is fantastic. I can't wait for that.
That's awesome.
It's really beautiful. So that's the way that I know a lot of people who like podcasts like to enjoy their books. So
audiobook
is a great option.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 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 In between visits, I am always listening to an audiobook or a podcast in the car. I haven't listened to music in a long time because I crave that time of listening.
Yeah.
So,
and I think hearing it told will be a really powerful way to take it in because, you know, again, coming back to what I hope people do get out of this as readers, as listeners, I think the biggest thing we can do as healthcare professionals, but this is also just as people, is to stay humble and curious.
Yes.
And that is where the best care is going to come from, whether it's professional care we're providing or just care that we give each other.
Absolutely.
And that is what I hope this book inspires.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a great note to wrap up on. Thank you so much for all of the years of work and everything you went through to put this book together. I think that it's going to change lives, and I am so excited for everybody to read it.
Thank you. And thank you for your work. I feel like mentoring the next generation of healthcare professionals and committing to being lifelong learners from our patients and from each other, that's the best thing we can do to bring this compassion to medicine.
Definitely.
To every family, really, and community. Yeah,
definitely. Thank you, Rebecca, so much
for your time.
Thank you.
Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. And check me out on social media at Margaret Salty.